Nutty Bites, episode 1. Welcome to Nutty Bites episode 1, the first real episode of the podcast. So I want to thank everybody who's listening. I want to thank everybody that's been tweeting and talking about this podcast. It's great. I love the feedback. I want to thank everyone that's promoted me or given me advice. Special thanks to Nobilis for telling me that the podcast was too soft for listening in an environment where there's background noise, and for giving me some tips on how to fix that. I've now downloaded a program called Levelator, and it seems to be working wonders. So thank you a lot, Nobilis. One of the things that happens a lot in the podcast community is people are great with positive feedback, but they often have a hard time giving fair critique. And you know what? Nobilis is never a victim of that. He always gives a great critique, and his thoughts have always been pretty helpful. Whenever I start listening to a podcast, I always hear his feedback calling in and giving advice, recommendations, or picking things apart, which is actually really great because without positive critique, there's no way that we can improve. So thank you. And I want to thank Brain Douche for telling me to, as I put it in my words, was to sing out, Louise. I need to speak up and talk more like I do in real life instead of hesitating and holding back and trying not to be the boisterous, obnoxious, loud, and annoying one. I also want to thank Spiritual Tramp. Apparently he likes my voice, so thanks a lot. Everyone that has commented has been awesome, and I just want to say that that's great. I have no calls or anything but Twitter remarks at the moment, but I want to thank you all, and I want you to know that you all have been wonderful, and it has not gone unnoticed. But rather than make the podcast go on too long, I'm not going to mention every single tweet.
What's awesome in the month of January, February, March, and July?
So as I said in episode 0, I'm going to be highlighting things that are awesome because 2011 is the year of awesome after all. And one of the things that I want to talk about that's awesome is I'm now making bread. It's a highly domestic thing that I'm doing here, and it's a lot of fun. It's almost like science. You know, I feel like I'm doing different science experiments, and I've discovered that I really enjoy making. It's a light oatmeal cranberry bread, and after some experimenting, changing around different ingredients, and again, some help from Brain Douche, I've been able to make what I consider the perfect oatmeal cranberry bread, so thank you very much. And I want to thank my sister Kaylin for giving me the bread maker because it's just awesome, and I now get tasty, tasty bread, which if you read my blog, you understand that I've felt a lack of good bread where I live at the moment. You can go to the blog for more information. What is also awesome in the month of January? Well, that would be snow, snow, and more snow. That's right. I'm going to say that snow is awesome. For all my teacher friends out there, you all know that snow is awesome. Why? Because you've gotten so many awesome snow days this year, and other people have gotten snow days. Thankfully, my husband's gotten a few. One of the not so awesome things that seems to be coming with the snow in my area is blackouts. Turns out that a lot more people are using electric heat and the grid just can't handle it. But up here in Nova Scotia, we're enjoying a lot of snow that the province is not quite used to. And it's great. I love snow. As much as I can complain when I'm shoveling, and as much as I can complain when I have to clear off my car yet again, and as much as I can complain when needing to drive somewhere and not really being able to get through snowdrifts, I have to say it's awesome because, first off, it breaks up the seasons. I couldn't stand being in the heat all year round. Sorry, everybody in Florida and tropical areas, including you Californians, you SoCal people who think you're so special, going to the beach 80 degrees in January, you know who you are. You don't get to make snow angels. You don't get to make snow bunnies. That's like a snowman with ears. And you don't get to have fun ice skating and doing all sorts of things. Now, granted, that being said, I've yet to start skiing. That is something that I'd like to start doing now that I have medical. So that if I'm run over by some obnoxious little kid, I can get myself patched up. But while I haven't gone out and started skiing or doing anything extra special, I have to say I really do enjoy the snow, even when it gets in the way of other things like travel. Travel. Oh my, a lot of travel. Now, some of you may know this, some of you may not. I travel a lot. Sometimes I do a lot more traveling than others, and in the last month or two, I've done quite a bit. For the holidays, I went to Ontario to visit my in-laws, and my very good friend, who lives on the West Coast now, you will know him as Serial Killer. He has a show on YouTube. He met me and my husband in Ottawa, and we rented a car and drove on up to the near north. This particular friend, he's very good friends with me, very good friends with my husband. I actually met them separately, but my husband and he grew up together, so it's a really good tight-knit group. We used to be able to see each other a lot more when we lived closer, and now we each live on separate coasts, so we only get to see each other a little bit. We try for once a year, but doesn't always happen. So we spent 3 weeks in Ontario. We had a lot of fun. We did a lot of geeking out. We watched a lot of movies, a lot of TV shows. We did some role playing. We drew up tabletop characters for Shadowrun. Never actually got to playing Shadowrun, but hey, a lot of card games, a lot of board games. Discovered Euchre Moonshot and got a little addicted to that. That was fun. And we had a blast. Then we came home just after New Year's. I was home for all of 10 days. And then I had to go down to New York for 10 days to celebrate Epiphany. I did some work and stuff like that, you know, and there were all sorts of things. And so just to give you an idea, it takes me, it's about an 18-hour drive from where I live to where I'm headed in New York. And it generally takes me almost a whole day to get there because I have to stop and take naps because I get really tired. I can push through, but every now and then I have to stop and take a 2 or 3 hour nap because ag. So I went down and I had a blast in New York. And while I missed being home and I missed my husband, it was just not nearly enough time. And as it turns out, I'll be heading back anyway. So I came home and I've been home for about 2 weeks and I'm going to be heading right back down there because my husband's headed off to Ontario for work and I've got a christening and all sorts of family engagements and some more work pressing that needs to happen. So I got to go down and do that. And so I've been traveling back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. So I've had a bit of airtime, I've had a bit of drive time, and while it may be a drag, and sometimes it is a drag, it's kind of awesome because I get to see a lot of really cool people, and I expect to see a whole bunch of more cool people on this upcoming trip because there's so many people that I just didn't get a chance to see on my last trip. But one of my favorite things, aside from Epiphany and seeing my family, was we started last year that the night before Epiphany, about half of my family, the geeks in my family, I come from a very large family, so half of my family is still quite a number. We get together and we do a one-shot D&D campaign. It was hysterical. From about 7 o'clock to 2:30 in the morning, we played and we laughed, and it got to the point that my sides hurt because I was laughing so hard and having so much fun. I just can't wait till next year. So much awesome. This is awesome. This is not in January, but I'm going to mention it because it's the beginning of February. I just found out today that After How, which is an acoustic project put together by two of my friends, but also the awesome ladies that put together the Lavender Lane podcast. They have a background in metal and punk. And so this acoustic project is actually really awesome. You can find it on YouTube. I think if you just YouTube search After How, you can find their covers. It's really great. I really enjoy hearing what they do with different songs. Anyway, they have booked a gig. They're going to be playing at The Factory in Long Beach, California. That's Long Beach, California, not Long Beach, Long Island, because they have moved from New York to California. So if you are out on the West Coast in SoCal and you get a chance to go see them, please tell me that you did and say hi to them for me and just do everything you can, because I'm going to be totally jealous of you and envious of you and hating on you, but also loving it. So if you can go see them, that's February 4th at The Factory in Long Beach. So please check that out. Speaking of After How, Lavender Lane did a really awesome intro and talk about my promo on their last podcast. So that was kind of cool. And thanks a lot, guys. You know what's awesome? Galaxy Billies is now on podiobooks.com. If you haven't heard Galaxy Billies, get yourself over to podiobooks.com and listen. It's a comedy series that was written by and performed mostly 100% by, but it's all except for one character, by M. Plested, who rocks and is pretty dang awesome himself. But if you are a fan of sci-fi, if you're a fan of anything in the geek culture, listen to Galaxy Billies. It's hysterical.
Psst, I heard it on Twitter.
So, just a few things that I've got here saved in my favorites on Twitter. That's basically what I do. If I see something really interesting and awesome, I make it a favorite for the month, and then I will unfavorite it at the end of the month. Thanks to Matt Leong of At Draw Something Cool on Twitter. He has informed me about the original BBC's Hitchhiker's Guide is now available on Hulu. So go check that out. That's right. Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy, BBC. I'm assuming that's the TV show. I can't watch it right now because I'm in Canada, but I will as soon as I go down across the border. You know what else is awesome on Twitter? You know what's great? Pirate Scribe has started the hashtag BeAwesome2011. All one word, BeAwesome2011. So if you've done something really awesome, I want you to put that hashtag in there. If you find something super awesome, I want you to tell me about that, because I'll feature it right here. And awesome is great. Thank you, Zachman, on Twitter, because he has given me a link, and I'll put this in the show note, of a TikTok parody featuring the Hunger Games. And I started listening to it, and I have to listen to it again, because when I first started listening to it, I was only partially the way through the first book, and I didn't want to spoil myself, but dang, does it ever follow perfectly. So go on, check the show notes, check that out. That's pretty awesome. VG Ford and Treed are trying to propose that we in North America start taking naps and siestas, because those are awesome. And we need to bring this back into our North American adult life. So come on, people, let's start this. Siestas, this is something people need. I know that when I was going to work full time, often I would just go out to my car on my lunch break and take a little nap. You know, you've all done it. And don't you feel so much more refreshed afterwards? So come on, let's start this up. Let's have like a 2-hour lunch where you get to have a little meal, take a little nap, and go back to work. We'd all work an extra hour if we got an extra hour to nap, right? That's awesome. I've also heard on Twitter that there's going to be a new Wonder Woman series. I'm a little scared, but very hopeful. So we'll see how it turns out. I'm not so sure. I will see what David E. Kelly comes up with. Another great thing that was on Twitter was Nathan Fillion releasing his 7-layer dip recipe. That was pretty awesome.
This is Laura Frechette, co-author of Prisoners of the Alliance and author of the upcoming podcast novel Absolution. You can listen to both at scrivenerscircle.com. But right now, you're listening to Nutty Bites.
What are you listening to?
Well, I got to tell you, there's two well, one new, one older podcast that I started listening to. One of the newer ones is Flash Pulp by J.D. Skinner. You can look in the show notes or on the blog for the link. And I got to tell you, it's pretty awesome. I've been listening to the different episodes and it's very different. You get a different feel for each episode. And most of the episodes are about 5 or 10 minutes long. So they're great to listen when you're going on short car rides or when you don't really have that much time to devote to listening to a full half hour, hour podcast. They're pretty awesome and I'm really enjoying them. So I'm working my way through. I'm not quite sure where I am, but I got a lot of podcasts to go through to get caught up. But Flash Pulp by J.D. Skinner, I highly recommend it. Another great podcast I'm listening to is a new podcast. It's called The Shrinking Man Project, and that's being done by Doc Coleman, aka Scalzia on Twitter. And he has been, well, it's a weight loss podcast. And let's talk a little bit about this. I'm a supporter of fat acceptance, but I'm not a supporter of giving up. Doc has created a podcast that's all about positivity. It's not about we all need to be size sixes. Certainly not. It's about we all need to make choices about our lives and about who we are and what we want from our lives. It's not about you should feel bad for that brownie you ate. It's about you should love yourself. And in order for you to be able to do anything, you've got to love yourself. And my favorite part of this podcast is he's got this philosophy segment in the middle of it. And it really makes you think. I was listening to the philosophy section on one of my epic road trips, and I had bought this muffin that honestly didn't even taste good. And I just bought it to eat something to keep myself awake and to keep going. And I'm listening to the philosophy section, and all I could think was, the hell am I putting in my mouth? It wasn't so much about that it was, oh my God, never eat a muffin. It was more like, I'm not enjoying this and I'm not feeling positive right now. So I just tossed the muffin away, continued driving, and continued listening to Doc talk about feeling positive and feeling good about yourself. And I got to tell you, I felt great. Another great thing that he's got going on with the Shrinking Man Project is he's not telling you what to do. He's just talking about his own journey. And he's got this group on Facebook called The Shrinking Man Project, and people can go there and get support and talk to each other. And it's very supportive. It's all about positivity, and that's what I'm all about. So I think that this is pretty awesome.
What I'm reading.
Okay, so I'm reading a couple of things, but basically my family celebrates a holiday called Epiphany. If you want to find out about it, go to my blog and find all about it. I've got a bit strip in there, explains everything. Not going to get into that here. But for Epiphany, my brother gave me, we do kind of a, we call it Kris Kringle. It's like a Secret Santa thing. So you give one present, you get one present. This year, my brother had me and he gave me 3 books to the Hunger Games series. Since I started reading the first book, I just started ripping through it. Now, I read very, very, very slowly. I tend to retain almost everything, but I read very slowly. So the fact that I'm ripping through these is pretty amazing. I'm now on book 3. I'm loving it. I will not spoil anything, but it's really very interesting. It's post-apocalyptic kind of a world, but pretty much the government's taken full on control. It's like the Running Man meets the lottery meets something new. I've really enjoyed it. It's been very engaging. I've heard complaints that it's kind of not realistic that people would live in a world that's so controlled and without freedom. But I think the more you read it, the more you realize how oppressive a world can actually get. And before you realize it, everything's dictated, even what you think is dictated to you by the government. It's a great book. It's a great series. I wouldn't recommend it for the younger kids, but I would say teenagers, it's perfect for adults. It's perfect for It's really enjoyable. And I don't think it's a female or male style book. I think it's pretty much unisex. The other thing that I'm reading is I'm reading the two graphic trades that were written by Kevin Smith for the Batman series. And I read the first one and I'm starting the second one. And I have to say, they're really, really awesome. I haven't enjoyed a Batman trade like this. Wow. I can't. Well, no. I don't read the comics. I'm more of a trade girl because I can't stand a series that doesn't have an end to it unless I've bought it when it comes to comics. And comics are too small, so I need a full trade. I do kind of enjoy most of the ones that I get, but this is just pretty amazing. Kevin Smith really has a good grasp on Batman. And then he's got his Kevin Smith dialogue that really works. And when I say Kevin Smith, I'm talking about that Kevin Smith of Jay and Silent Bob, Clerks, all the other movies.
Remember when I was a child, it wasn't so easy. You didn't have these fancy-schmancy brain implants. You had to use a computer. And you didn't just get information beamed directly into your head. You had to listen to the Weird Show to get your news. Fortunately, that's still running.
TheWeirdShow.com.
What I'm watching. So over the holiday break, Zero Killer Tech and I started watching a couple of things together. And they're older shows, but they're new to me. We started with the first season of The Misfits. It's a BBC series, and I'm hooked. I'm absolutely hooked. It's amazing. They're a bunch of juvenile delinquents that somehow end up with powers, and it's awesome. I don't want to spoil anything, and I can't wait for the second series because I'm told by people who have watched it that the second is even better than the first, which is pretty amazing. It's really interesting because the powers that they have kind of relate a little bit to their personalities, but I don't know. You go check it out, buy a DVD. I don't know if it's on Hulu. I'm not very good at these things. My friend brought it over. So just enjoy, watch it, love it. It's one of these shows that I keep meaning to watch. Or before I actually watched it, I kept meaning to watch it, but I would get in like episode 6, and you got to start from episode 1. So go out there, find episode 1, start watching it, enjoy it. The next show I'm going to talk about is a little interesting because it's not really science fiction-y. It's not really the kind of thing that I thought I'd like. My friend Zero Killer insisted I watch it. It's called The League, and it's about a fantasy football league. Now, I don't like football. I mean, unless it's 500 years in the future and it's a bunch of aliens playing it. I don't like fantasy football. I get really bored when people talk about fantasy football. Why would I watch this? Oh, and one of the comedians is a guy whose certain YouTube clips and videos I really don't enjoy. Watched the show and was blown away because it's hysterical. Yes, there are fantasy football league in the show, but it's really not that much about football. Although if you're into football, you'll like it because they always have a lot of really cool cameos that have to do with football. I really enjoyed it. Most of the actors in it are comedians, so they have this really good timing. If you are a fan of Sports Night and you know what I'm talking about, that back and forth timing that the different actors would have, well, that's present in the league. I really enjoyed it. So I think I watched the first season and a half of that over Christmas. That was really good. And then the last thing I'm going to mention is, oh, you know what? There are two things I want to mention. Okay, so I'm going to mention movies. Over Christmas, we saw Tron Legacy, and it was awesome. Now, I did record a movie review for Sci-Fi Dig. You want to hear my thoughts about Tron Legacy and Tron the original, go to Sci-Fi Dig. Next, I want to talk about Black Swan. Saw that the other night. It's with Natalie Portman and Mila Kunis and Barbara Hershey and Winona Ryder, and it's about ballerinas, and it's done by the guy who wrote The Wrestler. And I read somewhere somebody called it The Wrestler Meets Carrie, and they couldn't be more right. The first half of the movie just made me uncomfortable, and that was kind of the point. And then the second part of the movie kind of blew me away. because it was scary, it was sexy, it was disturbing, it was warped, it was weird, and at some point you're not quite sure what's real and what's not. And you leave the movie getting an idea of mostly what's real, but there's still a couple of scenes that you sit there wondering, did that really happen? Was that real? Wait. Anyway, so that's what's going on there.
Art happenings.
This month. Actually, it was in December. But in December, I have created kind of two works, really three works of art that I'm particularly proud of. One is for my friend Zero Killer. For Christmas, I gave him two paintings, two Batman-themed paintings, because we've got an inside joke where my nickname for him for years was Batman. So one of them is just like a profile. I'm going to put it on the blog so everyone can take a look. Anyway, it's a portrait of Batman, very comic book style, very much what you'd kind of expect. And I kind of enjoyed the angles on that. And it's very controlled and kind of precise. And then the next one, which is actually a much bigger one, is more free-flowing and expressive, and it's pretty much Batman's silhouette, and I just went to town on that one. And I'm realizing that as I'm describing paintings, it's kind of hard for the listener to really understand. So just picture a lot of red and blue and black and crazy brushstrokes, and go to the blog when you get a chance. The other thing that I did was, I have a new niece. While my sister was pregnant with my niece, she asked if I could do a painting of her dog. Now, for the baby's room, because they were doing a dog thing. Now, I don't really like painting animals. It's not my thing. And I couldn't do it while she was pregnant. After the baby was born, I started sketching. I started drawing. And I started working on it. You know, and doing pictures of her dog from this particular picture she had selected. And somehow, by the end of it, I came up with this really interesting painting of the dog. And it's pretty representational, which is interesting for me. And the brushstrokes on the fur were really interesting to me. It almost looks a bit three-dimensional. Then again, I use a lot of paint. And I was actually pretty pleased with it. So I have to say that I went out of my shell, I broke my box, and I surprised myself. So I'm pretty happy with challenging myself to do something I'm not comfortable with.
And now it's time for a nutty debate.
Today we're going to be discussing Star Trek. So if Kreb is listening, just fast forward, I don't know, about 15 minutes. 5 minutes, whatever. You'll find when we're no longer talking about Star Trek. And for everyone else who's cool and likes Star Trek, pay attention. Okay, so we've all had the discussion, what captain would you serve under in Star Trek? But we're not going to discuss that. I want to discuss what character in Star Trek would you serve under who is not captain or first officer?
Those debates have been done to death, so that's why we came up with this one. Is that everybody debates, which captain would you serve under? That's been done. So which crewman or lower rank officer would you serve under who is not in a command position right now?
Can I start off by making a crude sexual innuendo about
Kirk? Well, we know what's
before
happening.
Before we move on, making a crude sexual innuendo about Kirk, I would totally serve under him.
See, and I thought you said you were going to serve under Ezri, just like I would totally serve under Bones.
I'd serve under Ezri, too. I said Ezri.
I wouldn't serve under
them. Okay, I will also get away with the... I will also dispense with my silly first gut shot answer and say Mott the Barber.
Mott the Barber.
Nice. Oh, by the way, with me today, I have got Zero Killer, Tech, and myself. Sorry, I forgot to introduce you guys.
You're with yourself today?
Yes, I'm with myself.
The alternate personalities are all here.
Okay.
Yes.
So, okay, sir, my first serious jab out there. I will say I would serve under Chief O'Brien. Because he is the only enlisted man, apparently, in all of Starfleet. has been known to use his, you know, emotions in combination with his skill, knowledge, and expertise. And he's an older guy. He's been around for a while. He's been there. He's done that. He's seen lots of combat in action. And, yeah, I'd serve under Miles O'Brien any day.
I'm going to go with serving under Bev Crusher on the past year, simply because I think she'd be a good captain and a good boss. And I most likely would not end up getting killed. That's most important with the who would you serve under for me, because honestly, captain that's just going to be reckless and crazy, I'm going to die. I'll be the red shirt. I don't want to be a red shirt, well, so I'll serve under Beth.
Can I just counter one part by or and agree that not getting killed is important, but also mention that Miles is likely not going to get you killed either unless he takes you kayaking.
I will agree with you on that as well.
Or to become the Red Baron. Either way, I am going to throw out the obvious answer that people have already expressed disinterest in, and that I'm going to say Data. Why? Because, and I'm not going to say completely cool and logical Data. I'm going to say, oh, expletive deleted Data after he got the chip.
That's even dorkier, Data.
No. He has the logic, the ability to make rapid decisions, and Mighty he is knows. Able to understand emotions.
And he comically scans for life forms. I mean, what's not
that exactly? Right? If your captain is sitting in the command chair and he's going life forms, you tiny little life forms, where are you? I'm totally going to be down with that because I've had too many captains in my lifetime that are jerks.
I'm going to have one argument with that.
I loved all my
captains.
If
the captain is scanning for life forms, we've got a serious problem. But then again, seriously, if you think about it, Data, does he really need a crew? I mean, he can single-hand any ship. He's just on a ship as crew to get the human experience.
Well, no, he can't single-handedly do everything, but he's close. And that's why I would be happy, because if everybody but me and him were dead, I would not have to do that much.
As advanced as Data is, though, he's still just a machine. Machines are fallible, like humans, and
sing
they break,
it, John Henry.
Like humans. But I, yeah, John Henry, exactly. I have problems trusting the life of myself and my fellow crewmen to an overcomplicated calculator. Especially one where we appear to have all lost the instructions to. Okay, maybe it's a slight bit of technophobia, but no, never Data.
From a man named Tech.
Yeah, coming from a guy named the Techno Boy. Yeah, I know. I gotta say, though, Crusher... be like serving under Mom, although she's a really hot Mom. MILF. Yeah, MILF, but it...
I wouldn't even quantify her as a MILF, really. She's too naggy. And that's the other thing I couldn't serve under her for. She nags. She'd constantly be asking, are you feeling okay? Do you need to go to sick bay? And it's not the good kind of do you need to go to sick bay. It's you need to go to sick bay for a rectal examination. And that's not good.
The amount of times that she has been in command, or the number of the
well, just because everybody else disappeared off the ship.
The Next Generation episodes where she was in charge, or you know, like in a 2IC type position, she would always lord her abilities of medical officer over the captain. It's like, oh, captain, if you decide that, well, I can just overrule you because I'm the ship's doctor and I can do that. Just imagine that as the captain as well. It's like, I can confine you to sickbay because I'm a bossy
taco.
Blah 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 blah.
Well,
blah.
My response to that is, number one, she's captain, so she doesn't have to lord any power over anyone. And two, what I'm talking about is we've already seen her as captain in the future on the past year. So that's the Bev I want to serve under.
So you want to serve under someone who has proven that they will abuse the power that they have?
No, I want to serve under
Bev.
Well,
by lording any power over people, you are giving yourself that license to abuse power. You're rationalizing it. By reminding people that I can do this because I'm this person.
No, what I'm saying is she won't need to do that.
No, she won't need to,
because
but as captain, she's got a lot more power to abuse.
Yes, but she won't need to lord it over. And will she abuse it? Maybe. But I think as a crew member, I would be happier serving under her than, I don't know, good God, Kira?
I will give
She'd get me killed.
I will give her points for one thing. She's not Troy.
Oh, no, I would not serve
Troy the train wreck. No, I'd push that thing into an airlock.
It'd be a she crashed so the fun. Enterprise.
Commander Troy, get on your trampoline.
No,
for those
no
of you who
Troy.
Don't understand, I am convinced she had a trampoline off camera, and that's what she was there for.
although I will say, I would love to be the captain or the navigator or whatever on Luoxana Troy's vessel.
No, wait, you're saying that you're afraid for your life when Kira's around, but Luoxana, I'm just going to chase
tail?
No,
she's not going to be the captain. She's an ambassador after all. Our job is to ferry her around the universe, and I would love to be on that ship.
Dibs on Mr. Hom. Being Mr. Hom, I mean.
Oh.
Oh my. That's all kinds of badly revealing. Secondary choices, anybody?
Geordi.
Really?
Oh yeah.
Geordi was always the guy who fixed stuff and got problems solved. I would second that one. Really? Like,
you never see him. You very rarely see him in command of the whole ship, but he's in command of his section in every episode.
And he is a good chief engineer.
He just does not lose his cool. There could be
unless
plasma.
He's got some hollow babe going on.
Oh no! That's different. That was extenuating circumstances.
Even dealing with the episodes with Reg, where you see him dealing with difficult interpersonal relationships, he manages to.
Yeah.
Find a workaround or try to find common ground, and he shows it repeatedly again. When he doesn't know something, he goes to the expert for help. He doesn't have to be the perfect one-man army. It's like when he can't deal with Reg anymore, he goes to Counselor Troy to get advice.
And then she bounces on her trampoline and Reg gets in line.
Yes.
Well, I would definitely promote him if he could be promoted past chief engineer. But as a chief engineer, that's as high as he can go.
Secondary for me, and I am quite serious, no sexual innuendo involved, Ezri. Because when she's progressed in the ranks, she showed a remarkable improvement in one season of the show, possibly because of necessity. Remarkable improvement in self-confidence, in competence, and she's got lifetimes and lifetimes worth of experience.
She
Who the heck would not want to serve
she's
under
cute
a joint
as a
drill?
Button.
Yes.
But I don't
and
actually
I would,
ever see Ezri becoming captain, because if you notice, Curzon, Jadzia, all of the different hosts never really wanted to be in charge.
Yeah,
they always wanted supportive roles.
Well, no, Jadzia just didn't want to do real work. She wanted daddy's work to get her along.
Hey.
Jadzia did not float on Curzon's coattails.
Do not besmirch the reputations of my beloved Jadzia.
Backups for me, well, I would have to say Scotty, Uhura, nobody from Voyager staff.
You wouldn't want to serve under Tom Paris? He matured.
No. Heck, if anybody
greatly.
From Voyager cast, it would have to be the Doctor. But how weird would that be, serving under a hologram?
Ichab.
Naomi Wildman.
No. Oh, God, no.
Oh, my. Yes, why don't we just give Tuvix control?
Yes, hooray, Tuvix.
Well, all right, so that settles that. Of course, there in most debates having to do with sci-fi or Star Trek, there is no clear answer.
Yes.
I do have an alternate solution.
What?
What if the captain of the ship was the random episode's red shirt?
All right, so we had a little bit of technical difficulties there. So while we figured it out, somehow the guys here both agreed that they want to serve under Will Wheaton or evil Will Wheaton. But we came up with a secondary option that has all become our first option, which is serving under Odo.
Odo.
Other than the bucket thing.
Yeah, you know, I mean, he's got to
go
into a bucket
every now and
then.
Everybody's got problems. Sisko, your unfortunate choice of beard.
Well, if you think about it, though,
wait,
I mean,
discounting a captain based on facial hair?
Well,
oh,
he was much cooler once he went bald.
Well, he was.
He was, yes.
And Riker was more fun without the beard.
No.
Yeah.
Still wasn't as smooth as an android's bottom, though.
No, it's not as smooth as an android's bottom.
Maybe I'm snap judging the beard, considering what I'm rocking for facial hair right now. But.
Yes, the serial killer is known for his beard, even though he has not been wearing one. Regularly for the last 6 years, 8 years?
Yeah, nobody knows I have a beard out there in internet.
It's an invisible beard.
Any of, as I call them, the denizens of the digital world, which I don't know where that came from, by the way, any of those people don't know I have a beard.
It's a ninja's beard.
But,
it's invisible.
But,
so stealthy you can't see it.
To go back on track. The digital world is a copyright phrase of the serial killer. All rights reserved.
Vino.
We've decided that Odo, when he's not in his bucket, which, if you think about it, I mean, the amount of times a regular captain goes to the bathroom versus the amount of time he's in the bucket, not
that
bad.
And it's kind of funny to say the captain's in a bucket.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, the captain's in his bucket right now. The other thing, though, is, as mentioned before, is we have to keep him away from Kira and or find a way to stop him from pining for his girlfriend. Because as soon as he does that, he shuts completely
down. Well, that and pining for his lost race of evil overlords. But otherwise, he is the...
he gets over them.
He's
fast.
Incredibly competent, incredibly level-headed.
Fair.
He's fair. He's devious.
He's not without compassion.
He's not without compassion. He's thorough and
strong, firm sense of justice.
Firm sense of justice, which are all
good
traits
in a captain.
Honestly,
he would be able to deal with the Prime Directive better than any captain we've seen to date.
He would definitely not pull a Janeway all up in the Prime
Directive. Oh, please, he would court-martial her in an instant.
Oh, but please, somebody write that.
Up and above all of this, though, Will, if you're out there, Mr. Wheaton, sir, ready, I ready.
You're an idiot. Intro music by Tribute District 12 on YouTube, parody of Kesha's TikTok. Background music by Zero Gravity 2010 Mix, found on Jamendo.com. Links to this music can be found in the show notes. Thank you. You have been listening to Nutty Bites. For more information, please visit nimlas.org/blog. Please call the call-in number at 347-NUTTY-42. You can send me a Twitter or a tweet at NukeJoss on Twitter. You can email me at nuttybites@nimlas.org. And please, people, if you've got promos, send them in.
Me, me, me. Okay, volume level's good.
I can't snap to make my sound. There we go.